thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, there's nothing greater for a person to do than to authentically worship God. There's nothing greater for a person to do than to authentically worship God. Worship is the ultimate goal of all of life. And so there's all kinds of things that we can do, but there's nothing better for a person to do than to worship God, because worship is the very reason we were created in the first place. On the screen, the Westminster Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the goal. That's the chief end. Matt Papa, in his book, Look and Live, on the screen, wrote this. He wrote, "We exist to celebrate, admire, hide in, and confide in something greater than ourselves. Someone stronger than ourselves. Look around the world. We love to praise athletes, musicians, and actors who seem larger than life. The fact is, they are not, but we love to make them larger than life. Now, we get disappointed when they appear human. Why? He says, because we were made for a God who is larger than life. We were made to admire His power." What I want us to see right away is that bound up into the fabric of the existence of human beings is the purpose of true worship. So there's nothing greater for a person to do than to authentically and sincerely worship God. Conversely, there's nothing more grievous for a person to do than to engage in false worship or idolatry. On the screen, William MacDonald said, "Man is instinctively religious, but that is not necessarily good. In fact, it may be positively bad. His very religiosity may hide from him his need of salvation as a free gift of God's grace. In addition, man's own religion may be nothing more, listen, than a charade, an outward show without inward reality." An outward show without inward reality. If the chief end of man is to glorify God in true worship, then the greatest tragedy among men is idolatry. It's false worship. It's inauthentic forms of worship. In other words, this is what I want us to see. There is a way to worship God genuinely through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a very real propensity towards inauthentic forms of worship, where worship becomes nothing more than outward religiosity or external legalism. Or, as William MacDonald puts it, or just a show, a performance. Up until now, the preacher of Ecclesiastes has observed how we try to find meaning in this life through blatant pursuits of wealth and pleasure and work and even wisdom. Now, as we approach Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the preacher turns his attention to those who are engaged in religious pursuits, and his observations aren't any more positive. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the preacher moves from the streets and the nightclubs and the institutions of higher learning and the workplaces towards the place of worship. And what he observes in the place of worship prompts intense concern and instruction in wisdom. That not only are the pursuers of wealth and wisdom and work and pleasures misguided, he observes that there are people even in the places of worship that are just as misguided as well. So the preacher of Ecclesiastes brings for us some wisdom for our worship, how we ought to approach the place of worship. So I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is where we're going to be this morning. If you're having trouble finding Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you just go to the middle of the Bible, you'll find Psalms, Proverbs, and then comes the book of Ecclesiastes, the book that we are spending our time in. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we only have time to look at verses 1 to 7 today, so let's look at it. This is what it says. The preacher brings us wisdom for our worship. He says this: guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. God is the one you must fear. Here, the preacher of Ecclesiastes is having in mind the temple, where there are throngs of people going towards the temple to worship, and what he sees concerns him. And here are a few points of wisdom that he offers to us that are perfectly applicable for our times today as we approach our places of worship and our God to worship him. So this is where we're going to start. Wisdom for our worship. Point number one is this, very simply: listen carefully. Listen carefully. It's right in the text that when you approach God in worship, listen carefully. Notice verse 1. The preacher says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Let's stop right here for a moment. Really, really important. What does it mean to guard our steps when we go to the house of God, when we go to the place of worship? Well, it means that we need to be careful how we approach the gathering for worship. Not because there's some set of legalistic, work-based rules that we need to attain in order to be acceptable to God in our worship. No, we're acceptable to God because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Don't ever misunderstand that. But we're to guard our steps as we approach the place of worship, because how we approach the gathering for worship says something about what we think about the access we've been given through the person of Jesus Christ, and it says something about what we think about the one by whose blood we have been given this access, by his grace that he has granted us this access to worship God. How we approach the place of worship says a lot about what we think about God. So there's so much more I could say about this, but I don't have much time. So I want you to think, loved ones, right away by way of application, especially in light of the historical and cultural moment that we're living in right now. I just love that Ecclesiastes means something for us in the days that we're living in. How do we approach the gathering for worship? How do you approach it? How do I approach it? Are we prepared, for example? Are we guarding our steps as we go to worship our God? Are we prepared? What did we do last night in preparation to worship God together today? What did we do before we left the house this morning? Have we prepared? How about this? How have we planned? How is this gathering for worship fitting in our day-to-day plans? Did we just stumble into this gathering for worship? Did we get our Bibles open this week to Ecclesiastes because we're anticipating God's word to us in our gathering for worship? Have we considered carefully how we would come and stir up one another towards love and good works, albeit a smaller gathering? Have we considered, though, carefully how we would come and be a blessing to someone else? Have we prepared? Have we planned? How about this? Have we prayed? Have we guarded our steps to approach the house of God through prayer? Have we prayed for the preacher? Have we prayed for the song leaders? Have we prayed for those who will lead us through our announcements? Have we prayed for God's people to come ready and be pliable in the hands of God? Have we prayed that God so meet us with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, 1 Corinthians 2:4? Have we prayed that hard hearts would be softened? Have we prayed that lost souls would be found? Have we prayed that rebellious people would be convicted? Have we prayed that Jesus Christ would be glorified in our midst? Have we prepared? Have we planned? Have we prayed, loved ones? Perhaps there's some timely words of wisdom for us today in 2021 from the book of Ecclesiastes. The gathering doesn't look like it used to in these days, but that doesn't change how we ought to approach God in worship. Guard your steps as you approach the place of worship. The gathering isn't what we believe it should be for a season, but that doesn't change how worthy God is in this season. It doesn't change who God is. The preacher of Ecclesiastes has some words of wisdom for our worship. And as he sees the worshipers approaching the temple, he sees them approaching casually. He sees them approaching carelessly. He sees them approaching thoughtlessly. He sees them approaching prayerlessly and faithlessly. And he says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. That what we're doing here, have you thought about this? What we're doing here today is so significant that even though it's not several hundred in a room like we're used to, even though it's just a few of us, God in his worthiness has not changed, has he? And so whether it's several hundred in a room or just a few of us in a room like this, we ought to guard our steps as we go to the house of God. Notice now verse 1 again. He says to draw near, to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Well, what's he saying? Well, he's saying, listen carefully when you go to the house of God. He's saying, listen carefully and don't be so quick to utter presumptuous and hasty words to God. Listen carefully. He's saying, listen carefully in order that you may obey God. Because it's better to listen and to obey than to offer meaningless sacrifices. In other words, it's better to listen carefully in order to obey than to sing and pray and lift your hands and serve and work and speak from a heart that is disobedient and far from God. You see, he's saying, listen carefully when you go to the house of God so that you may hear God's word and obey it rather than offer meaningless sacrifices. And how often has that happened in our lives? Where we come to the place of worship and we lift our hands or we close our eyes or we sing songs and we don't even understand what the songs we're singing is calling us to. We don't even compute what the Word of God is calling us to, the obedience it's calling us to, and what we're offering God becomes meaningless because it just becomes a ritual. We're just going through the motions. Sing a few songs, listen to a message, pray a few prayers, wave to a few people, and leave. No, the preacher of Ecclesiastes says, guard your steps and listen carefully that you may obey. To obey is better than sacrifice, the Word of God says, to offer meaningless sacrifices. Look at verse 2 now. He says, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. This is amazing to me. It's amazing. And the church of 2021, our church needs to recover, I believe, what the preacher is offering us here. The preacher is calling the worshiper to listen carefully for the purpose of obedience. Watch this. And he appeals on the basis of the transcendence and otherworldliness of God. Do you see that? Did you catch that? Look at verse 2. He says, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. Here it is. Listen, he's appealing based on the transcendence of God. He says, for God is where? In heaven. And you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Loved ones, what is it that informs our worship? You know? What is it that forms our worship practices in the church? What is it that actually transforms hearts and lives in worship? Well, it's the recognition that the one we are worshiping is transcendent and glorious and otherworldly and holy, even in groups of 10. Even online and on Zoom. And this transcendence becomes for us the most beautiful and awe-inspiring thing in worship, because we understand through the gospel that it is this transcendent God who condescended to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he laid down his life for us so that we cannot be subject to the wrath of this perfect transcendent God, but we can be delivered from the wrath of this transcendent God and be brought into fellowship and union with this transcendent God so that now we can actually come to worship him, given access to his throne of grace by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why, loved ones, as we guard our steps as we approach the place of worship, as we approach listening carefully. That's why we just can't come and sing things like, "Great are you, Lord," while we're yawning at the same time. If we understand the transcendence of God, the holiness of God, that He is in heaven and we are on earth, so let our words be few. We're going to worship by listening and obeying. That's why we can't have the Word of God in front of us and be staring into space when the words of the living God are being expounded before us, because we understand that these are the words of a transcendent God. That we approach Him carefully, we guard our steps, and we come to listen, to obey, and not to offer a sacrifice of fools. This is why on the Lord's day, we can't sleep in. We can't just stumble in. We can't skip a month of gathering. We can't treat the gathering for worship like it's a trip to Costco. Why? Because the one we worship is transcendent and holy and otherworldly and filled with love and mercy. And He loves us, and He calls us together to worship Him. It's marvelous. God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. He says, therefore, let your words be few. Therefore, don't be quick to utter meaningless things to Him. Instead, listen to obey so that you can offer a sacrifice of worship that is pleasing to Him and not meaningless. Wisdom for our worship. Listen carefully. Guard your steps. Realize what's happening when you gather for worship. Secondly, finally, and very briefly, this: wisdom for our worship. Not only listen carefully, finally this: speak authentically. Speak authentically. Really quickly here, look at verse 4. It says, "And when you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow, because it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands?" He says, "For when dreams increase, the words grow many, and there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear." I want you to notice the comparison He's making between a lot of talking and foolishness, a lot of careless speaking and foolishness. Often in the Old Testament system, vows and promises were made to God, but because sacrifices were costly, people would often walk away from the place of worship. They would walk away from their vow, and they would not fulfill their vow before God. They would not bring their sacrifice to God. Essentially, the preacher is saying, when you speak to God, speak authentically. Don't look at God in worship and say, "Okay, God, I promise I'm going to do this. I promise I'm going to be this." And say things to God that you don't mean in your heart, that you don't mean to fulfill. Why? Because what we say to God matters. And what we say to Him matters to Him, essentially. The preacher says, when you speak to God, say what you mean and mean what you say. Speak authentically and with integrity to God. So just consider this. How often do we gather together and we sing songs? Do you understand? These are not meaningless words. We are saying something to God. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Really? Really? Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. That's what we're saying to God. Really? Do we mean that? Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Really? We live for You. Is that true? Be careful when you approach God. Listen carefully. Speak authentically. Jesus, the name above every other name. Do we mean that? The name of Jesus is above every other name? Jesus, the only one who could ever save. When I sing those words, when I say those things to God, do I mean it? Because sometimes I leave the place of worship and I act like money is the only thing that could ever save. Sometimes when I leave the place of worship, I think my spouse is the only thing that could ever save. Sometimes when I leave the place of worship, I think my reputation is the only thing that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. A few more vows and promises that we make. And I will build my life upon your love. Wow. I will build my life upon your love and your word and your truth. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. Wow. Consider what we say to God. Because when I leave the place of worship, sometimes, man, I put my trust in the economy. I put my trust in political leaders. I put my trust in, when is this pandemic going to end? And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. I will not be shaken. I want you to stand to your feet right now. And we are going to sing this song. But here's the exhortation from God's word. Listen carefully. What has God's word called us to today? Listen carefully to obey. And as you say some words to God now, speak authentically. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. Well, God, I pray that we would. God, you know we don't do it perfectly. No. You know we can't do it perfectly. But that's what makes the gospel so awesome for us today. That there is one who is perfect, who died in our place to fulfill the law in our place, to pay the penalty for our sin in our place, so that we can approach you and listen to you and grow in obedience to you and speak some words to you that will change us and transform us. Oh, how I pray today that we would be a worshiping community that listens to obey and speaks authentically with integrity. As we sing this song, let it come from our hearts. I pray that we would live for you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
For us one last time. Father, thank you for this group of people in this room and the many more that will be gathering in smaller groups throughout this day and those that will be gathering on Zoom. Oh, Spirit of the living God, remind us of the love of God through the person of Jesus Christ. Remind us for the beautiful access we've been given and what it cost you. And I pray you would shake us out of our complacency, out of our slumber that sets upon us so often. And as a church, would you liberate us from worldviews that are contrary to the one that says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. I pray, God, that we would have a biblical worldview and that our view of you as transcendent and awesome and holy would fill our thoughts and our actions and our words. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. I pray for my friends in this room. Strengthen them to obey as you call us to this, and strengthen us as a church to be a place filled with people who guard our steps, who draw near to listen, who speak authentically to our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.